Hare Hare. Paramahamsa Parivijakacharya Ashtotara Shata. His Divine Krishna, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Bodhi Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shahadas Thakur Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Vatai Gau Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees of Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories and glories and glories to Sri Guru and Gauram Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskrityam.
Narayanam namaskrityam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasa.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasa.
Tato Jaya Mudiraye.
Tato Jaya Mudiraye.
Astapraye Shabhadreshu.
Astapraye Shabhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
Karoti vachalam pangulangaitim grimyat kripatamaham vande shri gurudhanatananam paramanandam madhavam shri chaitanya ishvaram. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, chapter titled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, the glorious pastimes of Bhishma Dev and the instructions of Bhishma Dev. So we continue our reading from text number 28. Dharmartha kama moksha sacha.
Dharmartha kama moksha sacha.
Saho payana yata mune.
Saho payana yata mune.
Nana kheyante heshu. Hesheshu Varnayam Asi Tattvake
Varnayam Asi Tattvake
Dharmartha Kama Moksha Samsya
Dharmartha Kama Moksha Samsya
Sahopayana Yata Muni
Sahopayana Yata Muni
Nana Kheyanti Hesheshu
Nana Kheyanti
Varnayam asatattvati tattvamit
Varnayam asatattvati
Dharmartha kama moksha sancha
Dharmartha kama moksha
sancha Sahopayana yata mune
Sahopayana yata mune
Nana kiyanti heshishu
Nana kiyanti heshishu
Varnayam asatattvamit
Varnayam
Dharmartha kama mokshamscha
Dharmartha kama mokshamscha
Sahopayan yata mune
Sahopayan yata mune
Nanakhyan itihaseshu
Nanakhyan itihaseshu
Varnayama shatattvavet
Varnayama shatattvavet
Dharmartha kama mokshamscha
Dharmartha kama mokshamscha
Sahopayan yata mune
Sahopayanyatamne
Nanakyanehitihasheshu
Word by word translation. Dharma,
dharma.
A occupational duties,
artha
economic development, kama
fulfillment of desires,
moksham
ultimate salvation,
cha
and
saha
along with
upaya
means
yatha
as it
is
mune
o sage
nana
various
akhyana
by recitation of historical narrations itiheshishu
in the histories
varnayamasa
described
tatvavet
one who knows the truth.
Translation:
then he described the occupational duties of different orders and status of life, citing instances from history, for he was himself well acquainted with the truth.
Please repeat after me.
Then he described
the occupational duties
of different orders
and statuses of life.
Citing instances
from history, for he was himself
well acquainted with the truth.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Shri Prabhupada.
Purport:
incidents mentioned in the Vedic literature, such as the Puranas, Mahabharata and Ramayana, are factual historical narrations that took place sometime in the past. Although not in any chronological order, such historical facts, being instructive for ordinary men, were assorted without chronological references. Besides that, they happen on different planets, nay, in different universes, and thus the description of the narrations is sometimes measured by three dimensions. We are simply concerned with the instructive lessons of such incidents, even though they are not in order by our limited range of understanding. Bhishma Deva described such narrations before Maharaj Yudhishthir in reply to his different questions. We will also continue with text 29-30. Should we also do 31, Prabhu? Because 31 was supposed to be today. 29-31, I think there was a change. So should we go up to 31 or 30? So we'll continue reading it. Translation to text 29. While Bhishma Dev, could you please repeat after me? Translation:
While Bhishma Dev was describing occupational duties,
the sun's course ran into the northern hemisphere.
This period is desired by mystics
who die at their will. But the perfect yogi or mystics can leave the material body at their own sweet will at a suitable time and go to suitable planet desired by them. In Bhagavad Gita 8.24, it is said that self-realized souls who have exactly identified themselves with the interest of the Supreme Lord can generally leave the material body during the time of the fire god's effulgence and when the sun is in the northern horizon, and thus achieve the transcendental sky. In the Vedas, these times are considered auspicious for quitting the body, and they are taken advantage of by the expert mystics who have perfected the system. Perfection of yoga means attainment of such supernatural state, super mental state, as to be able to leave the material body as desired. Yogis can also reach any planet within no time without a material vehicle. The yogis can reach the highest planetary system within a very short time, and this is impossible for the materialist. Even attempting to reach the highest planet will take millions of years at a speed of millions of miles per hour. This is a different science. Bhishma Dev knew well how to utilize it. He was just waiting for a suitable moment to quit his material body. And the golden opportunity arrived when he was instructing his noble grandsons, the Pandavas. He thus prepared himself to quit body before the exalted Lord Shri Krishna. The pious Pandavas and the great sages headed by
Bhagavan Vyasa, etc., all great souls. Text number 30, please repeat the translation. Thereupon that man, who spoke on different subjects, with thousands of meanings, and he fought on thousands of battlefields, and protected thousands of men, stopped speaking, and being completely freed from all bondages, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garment that glittered and shined. But in the momentous hour of leaving his material body, Bhishma Dev set the glorious example concerning the important functions of human form of life. The subject matter which attracts the dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. Very nice statement. The subject matter which attracts the dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. Therefore, if one is absorbed in the thoughts of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, he is sure to go back to Godhead without any doubt. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.5-8.15. And whoever at the time of death quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Whatever state of mind one remembers, whatever state of being one remembers, when he quits his body, the state he will attain without fail. Sloka 7, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will attain me without doubt. Sloka 8, he who meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Sloka 9, one should meditate upon the Supreme Person as one who knows everything, as he is who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is the smaller and the smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conceptions, who is inconceivable and who is always a person. He is luminous like a sun and being transcendental is beyond this material nature. Sloka 10, one who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows and is full and in full devotion engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord will certainly attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 11, Sloka 11. Person learned in Vedas who utter Omkara and who have great sages and who are great sages in announced order enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. 12. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. 13. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planet. 14. For one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pratha, because of this constant engagement in devotional service. 15. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Sri Bhishma Dev attained the perfection of quitting his body at will and was fortunate enough to have Lord Krishna, the object of his attention, personally present at the time of the death. He therefore fixed his open eyes upon him. He wanted to see Krishna for a long time out of his spontaneous love for him because he was a pure devotee. He had very little to do with the detailed performance of yogic principles. Simple bhakti yoga is enough to bring about perfection. Therefore, the ardent desire of Bhishmadeva was to see the person of Lord Krishna, the most lovable object, and by the grace of Lord Sri Bhishmadeva had his opportunity at the last stage of his breathing. Text number 31, translation. Please repeat after me. By pure meditation, looking at Lord Shri Krishna,
he
at once was freed from all material inauspiciousness
and was relieved
of all bodily pains caused by the arrows, by the arrow wounds. Thus, all the external activities of his senses at once stopped. And he prayed transcendentally to the controller of all living beings while quitting his material body. But what? The material body is a gift of material energy, technically called illusion. Identification with the material body is due to the forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with the Lord. For a pure devotee of Lord like Bhishma Dev, this illusion was what at once removed as soon as the Lord arrived. Lord Krishna is like the sun, and the illusionary external material energy is like darkness. In the presence of sun, there is no possibility that darkness can stand. Therefore, just on the arrival of Lord Krishna, all material contamination was completely removed, and Bhishma Dev was thus able to be transcendentally situated by stopping the activities of the impure senses in collaboration with matter. The soul is originally pure, and so also the senses. By material contamination, the senses assume the role of imperfection and impurity. By revival of contact with the Supreme Pure Lord Krishna, the senses again become freed from material contaminations. Bhishma Deva attained all the transcendental conditions prior to his leaving the material body because of the Lord's presence. The Lord is the controller and benefactor of all living beings. That is the verdict of all Vedas. He is the supreme eternity and living entity amongst all the eternal living beings. And he alone provides all the necessities for all kinds of living beings. Thus, he provided all facilities to fulfill the transcendental desires of his great devotee Bhishma Dev, who prayed as follows. That's it. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to text Sloka 28, 29, 30 and 31. That's Canto 1, Chapter 9, chapter titled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Amadhyana Timidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganaragutatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Tamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpataro vyascha kripa sindhu vyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we continue on after we saw the prayers of Queen Kunti, then the next chapter, passing away of Bhishma Dev. You've heard this from various devotees in the past classes, that before Bhishma Dev passed away, he had a lot of instructions to give, and he called Dharmaraj Yudhishthira and he told him how he needs to manage, how he needs to rule the whole kingdom. And in the earlier shlokas we also saw that Krishna himself says he is Kala. It is only because of him everything has been running. And we also saw that all the mishappenings or all the turbulences that the Pandavas, the great devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees of the Lord went through was basically because of the desire and because of the plan of Lord Krishna. And finally here it comes. Well, before that, we speak about the qualities of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev was a great devotee of the Lord. He was more than a mystic. He was a great commander, he was a great salesman, he was a great counselor. He was also granted with this will of leaving the body by his own desire. So if we go back a little bit, Maharaj Shantanu. So Maharaj Shantanu had accumulated a lot of pious credits, and he could grant this will to Bhishma Dev, saying that you have this credit of, or rather, you can leave your body with your own. Yaya Shri Jagannath Baldev Shri Bhagavan Shri Radha Krishna Chandraji Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Bhagavan Shri Padma. So Bhishma Dev could leave his body at his own will, and because of this, he took the best advantage of the situation. How many of us can decide when are we going to die? Or how many of us can leave our body desiring, saying that I would like to leave on so and so day? Well, the other things which are inconsequent actually, where we are talking in Shloka 29, where it says, the sun's course ran into northern hemisphere. This period is desired by the mystics who die at their own will. Even if Bhishma Dev had not left his body during this auspicious time, yes, this is all the arrangements that has been done by the Lord. But even if Bhishma Dev had left his body at his will, he would have gone back home, back to Godhead. So, when we come in comparison to us, how many of us can really desire to leave our body at will? Forget about leaving our body, we can't even desire, or we can't even keep up to how, when we can complete our chanting, when we can complete our reading. So, leaving this body, and that also in full consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is something which has to come by the mercy of the Lord. It cannot be just attained that I will try to do this, I am everything, but then that's impossible. Even for devotees, it is very important. We see so many devotees leaving their bodies, and if we do not have the Ichha Mruti or time that we can decide as to when we can leave the body, at least we should desire that I leave the body in association of devotees, I leave the body in association of their lordships. And that is where we see a lot of devotees, you know, have pictures in their house. They don't have their marriage pictures, they don't have their children's picture, but then they have the various leelas of Krishna in their house, Balya Leela. You know, the pastimes that Krishna had in Vrindavan, they fixed up in their house. And there are devotees who go beyond that. You know, you see devotees have the time. When they see the time, they see Krishna, because Krishna is inscribed in them. Devotees have tattoos in their body. You know, whenever they look at the tattoo, it reminds them of Krishna. So, it is very important at the time of death, one needs to, when one is leaving the body, one needs to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead to actually attain the desired success that we really look at. If we go back a little bit, in the same conversation that we had, we saw that, you know, Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows, and these arrows were shot by Arjuna, the great devotee of the Lord. Well, all this was also, you know, a lot of us think, oh, this happened because Arjuna was a great warrior, he was a great archer, and he could do anything that's possible. If you go back a few shlokas, Bhishma Dev also desired to be killed by Krishna himself. You know, Bhishma Dev was always desiring that Krishna should kill me. But it did not happen because it was the plan of Krishna. What happens is, in Mahabharata we see on the battlefield, the Kauravas and Pandavas are fighting, and there are many losses that happen, and one fine day, Bhishmadev takes over the charge of the commander general of the army. And now Krishna says, you start fighting at, or start, you know, hitting your arrows, firing your arrows at Bhishmadev. But Arjuna, who has actually learned a lot of things from Bhishma Pitama, Bhishmadev, he never wanted to do it. Initially, when the Lord instructed him to start firing, but he went very slow. He did not do it. And he said, how can I fire at my own father? Actually, the grandfather. He says, I will never do that. He was not fighting the way that he should really fire. He should fight. But then Krishna pushed him, saying that, what are you doing? And at one point of time, we see Bhishmadev actually became very, very ferocious, and he started attacking Arjuna from all the sides. And there was one point of time that Arjuna actually fell down. And that is the time that Krishna really got very annoyed, and he picked up the wheel of a broken chariot and charged towards Bhishma Pitama. And that's where Arjuna reminds him of his promise that you will never take up the weapon in the battlefield. And then Krishna retracts, and then the flight resumes. And when the fight resumes, and finally we saw that, you know, Arjuna becomes very aggressive in this fight and then starts firing the arrows, and then the arrows that pierce from one side come out on the other side, and then likewise the whole body, we see Bhishma Pitama is, you know, with arrows, and we also heard saying that the space between two arrows is even smaller than a boy's finger could go inside. So that's the kind of attack that Arjuna had done on instructions of Lord Shri Krishna. And what is the age of Bhishma Pitama when he was fighting the battle of Kurukshetra? Anybody remember? What is the age of Arjuna and Krishna? Sir?
125.
I think that's not correct. Bhishma Pitama was 170 years. Well, I'm so confirmed because I rechecked it, because I was also under the impression that he was 125. But Krishna was actually 89 years. Arjuna was 89 years. And Bhishma Pitama was 170 years. And Yudhishthira was 91 years. Bhima was 90 years. And Nakula and Sahadeva were 88 years, the twin brothers. 88, 89, 90, 91 and 170. That's the progression. I will also clarify why it was not 125. After the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know, when all the sons of... I'm answering the question of 125 years, why it is not 125. So after the battle, Mother Gandhari cursed Krishna. And she said, you know, you've killed, you are the reason for wiping away of the whole dynasty. You killed all my 100 children. And I curse you. Well, Krishna is not bound by any curse. He can accept some curse and some he can reject it. There's no point. But Krishna at his own sweet will accepted this curse of Mother Gandhari, saying that you will be killed. Your complete dynasty will be wiped out after 36 years. So when we go back, it is 36 plus 89, that's how it becomes 125. So that clarifies. I checked it with the authoritative sources, and I was also not certain. I had the same doubt. So that is where he was 170 years, Bhishma Pitama. And the kind of valiant, the vigor that Bhishma Pitama was firing, and you know, nobody could really tolerate that. In contrast, or in you know, in absolute contrast to that in the current days. So in those days, the Kshatriyas had to maintain their bodies. They were, you know, practicing good health. They were practicing good yoga. They would keep themselves busy because they were Kshatriyas and they were supposed to protect the whole population which is there. And they would also eat accordingly and take rest accordingly. So all that has been mentioned if we go back and look at it. And when Bhishma Pitamaha was, you know, lying on the bed of arrows, he never uttered anything. He never called for any painkillers or any herbs to, you know, soothe his pain, despite so many arrows being around. But he looked forward to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. And while doing that so, he also gave instructions to Pandavas as to how they need to look at Niti, they need to how rule the kingdom going forward. Because in absence of Bhishma Pitamaha, he was an expert advisor to them. So he instructed all of them, and then finally the time arrived. And Bhishma Pitamaha did not want to even blink his eyes when Krishna came in front of him. He opened his eyes so wide, wide, wide like Jagannath's eyes, wider than Jagannath's eyes. And then he actually conceived the Lord in his eyes so that he cannot forget him. And then the Lord rested in his heart, you know, in a sense he entered his heart, not rested, I'm saying. He entered his heart. And that is how Bhishma Pitamaha wanted to leave this body. And Bhishma Pitamaha, as we discussed last time also, that he is a Mahajana. And he has the complete spiritual knowledge. He can give us the guidance in whatever ways that we really look at it. But why did he prefer to die on the battlefield? There was no chaos. There was no confusion as to why he should not die on the battlefield. We think that, you know, despite so many dead bodies around and all such things, people will be in anxiety, confusion. But then his mind was very, very fixed on Lord Krishna. And he knew that he wanted to leave the body only. He was very firm that he wanted to leave his body only by looking at the lotus feet of the Lord, the smiling lotus feet of the Lord. And at the end, it is also said that, you know, when Bhishma Pitamaha wanted to leave his body, he requests Lord Krishna to show him his four-handed form. So Lord Krishna was actually present in front of Bhishma Pitamaha in his four-handed form while leaving his body. There's another devotee in our own parampara who had this boon of leaving the body at his own will. Who's that? Thakur Haridas. And if we go back here, Haridas Thakur was also very particular, and he said, Lord, I would like to leave this body only in your presence so that I don't come back here. So he was a great Vaishnava, Namacharya. You know, nobody can be greater than Namacharya Haridas Thakur. And he had this desire, so he calls the Lord saying that I would like to have you in front of me tomorrow. And then when the Lord comes, he says, please sit in front of me, show me your lotus feet, and also stretch your legs. Yeah, this is described saying that he requested Lord Chaitanya to stretch his legs and held his lotus feet on his chest, and he left his body by looking at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and looking at the lotus face of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did everything that was required to have Haridas Thakur's body, you know, the so-called body, material body, cremated nicely, took him to the sea and gave a bath there, and then arranged for a wonderful feast after the passing away of Haridas Thakur. So devotees should always think of how, or they should always aspire as to how I can always be in thought of Radha and Krishna. Not necessary, and as I said, you know, we cannot even have that desire that I will leave the body at my own will, which is not possible for us. We don't know when we are going to leave. So it is important that 24/7 devotees think of Radha and Krishna. Devotees think of their lordships and serve them. Now, the question comes, how can I remember them always? So, not necessary that 24/7 you should be chanting. Involve yourself in service. Go into the reading of the Shastras, which describes the pastimes of the Lord. Preach the holy name of the Lord. The easiest way to remember the Lord is by preaching. Because many times we hear so many things, unless and until we repeat it again, or we study for the sake of you know, talking about it to somebody else, we will never remember it. Our mind is so agitated at all the time. When you are thinking of Radha and Krishna, it takes you somewhere. It is also said that if you are agitated, just keep a picture of Radha and Krishna in front of you. Many times we have devotees coming and complaining. Not devotees, I would say I also have the same tendency. That when you are chanting your rounds in the morning, though it's Brahma Murta, nice atmosphere, sitting along with the devotees, but your mind still runs away. Your mind thinks of what is happening in the family, what's happening with another devotee, what's happening with my office. Keep the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Focus on the Hare Krishna, every word of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then start focusing your mind. So, why it is talked about focusing the mind is Bhishmadev in the battlefield could have actually been lost because there were so many things happening, so much of chaos happening, so much of madness happening in the battlefield. But still, he fixed his mind at the time of his death, at the time of his final passing away, on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, on the lotus face of Lord Krishna, and left his body. There are many times we ask this question, are we qualified to go back to God? Mixed answer, yes, maybe, may not be, no. No? Okay. So let's take an example of a very nice story from our Shastras. I'm sure all of you have heard this story over and over a bit of time we've been hearing. We also talk about this story many times. But I'm saying this is as a reference so that we can understand it better. The story of Ajamila. Okay? So, what do you think? Ajamila would have gone back to God? No? You say yes, Prabhu? Yes. Okay. So yeah, both the answers are correct. So if you look at the material part of it, Ajamila would not have ever able to go back to Godhead because of his just the recent past deeds. Yeah? But then this is because of the will of the Lord. The Lord arranged that because he had done certain good service to the Lord in his past, you know, when he was a little boy, when he was born in the Brahmana family, he would recite the shlokas, he would do the worship to the Lord. But much later that he fell into the wrong way. So the Lord really recollected whatever he had done in the past. And do you think it was possible for a person of that cadre or that, fallen, though we have no qualification to call him fallen, but still, you know, for our sake of discussion, we call him fallen because, you know, he engaged into all kinds of activities which a normal good human being would not do. So he was fallen, and in that fallen condition, having a child with a prostitute and naming the child as Narayana was possible? No, nobody would really think about it. But then the Lord made this arrangement. He made this arrangement saying that Ajamila would have a child, and he would name the child as Narayana, and he would be so attached. Actually, the Lord made him attached to the youngest child. He could have been attached to any other child. Not necessarily, though in our, in the material world we say that, you know, people are generally attached to the youngest child. No, it is not necessary. We find it as a paradox. People are attached to, you know, various other things than just getting attached to their small or little child. So the Lord made him attached to his younger child and always keep talking about him, saying, Narayana, come here. Narayana, sit on my lap. Narayana, get me a glass of water. Narayana, come, I would like to play with you. The repeated calling of the name of Narayana was actually the plan of the Lord. The Lord made all this plan for Ajamila to speak the holy name. And then at the time of his death, you know, we all know the story that the Yamadutas came and they said, you know, he's been a very, very, very impious person and he's fit to go only back to punishment loka. Yeah? Yamaloka. So they came to take him to Yamaloka. But then at the same time, while he was calling the name of Narayana, the Vishnudutas came and saved him. Vishnudutas had a fight, a long-standing argument with the Yamadutas. And then they finally defeated the Yamaduta, saying, no, you don't have any control over this person because he uttered the name of the Lord at the time of his death. So then he was taken and then he was actually, put into the service and then finally he purified himself and he went back to Godhead. So if we really look at it, everybody is qualified to go back to Godhead. Because at some point of time, we were all with the Lord in a supreme abode, It is because of our free will that we decided that we wanted to be independent of the Lord. And then we said, we requested Him, or at times went against His will, and we said we wanted to be independent. And then He said, okay, fine, my child, go ahead, enjoy the material world, tatastu, and then we were sent down. So the qualification of the devotees, or anybody for that matter, because we are all actually part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have all the qualifications to go back home, back to Godhead. It's just that we have to brush up, or we have to just clean the mirror which has a lot of dust on it. And because we are His eternal children, the Lord will make the arrangement for us to go back home, back to Godhead, and remember Him at the time of death. It is also said, because many times we talk about this, that the Lord is Achyuta, He is Bhaktavatsala, and He never fails in His reciprocation. So whatever little bit service that we have done, knowingly or unknowingly, He reciprocates that to His devotees, and He never forgets. Unlike us, you know, if we borrowed some money from somebody, we forget to pay him back. Or if somebody has done something good for us, maybe after a couple of years, you forget saying that I have to repay him. Though at that particular time, you may say, oh, you've done such a great thing for me, I would like to repay this whenever the time comes. But the time never comes because we forget. Our buddhi is so short. Okay? But the Lord never forgets, and He reciprocates in His relation with the devotees, either sooner or later. But the Lord has never ever forgotten to reciprocate to His devotees. It is also said, you know, we have to be all preparing. You sure? We should be preparing any and every moment of our life. You know? You don't know what time the Lord says, yes, I want you to come back. You have a better service with me here rather than doing whatever you're doing currently. So here we really see the nice instructions and the pastimes of Bhishma Dev, who actually leaves his body in the presence of the great devotees, the Pandavas, the great rishis, including Vyasadeva, and in the most auspicious presence of Lord Sri Krishna. So I'd like to end here. If there are any comments or criticisms, I'd like to take that. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Yes, sir.
Thank you for the class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you mentioned that when Bhishma Dev was passing, he saw Krishna in a 400 forms.
Yes.
So, but as far as I remember, that Arjuna wanted to see 200 form, and 200 form is more superior and more giving joy to the devotees. So, why Bhishma Dev asked in such a way?
Again, this is the relationship between the devotee and the Lord. Yeah, Mother Yashoda did not want to see the Lord in His, the Vishwarupa form. She never desired to see it. But Krishna wanted her to see because he wanted her to realize it. But Mother Yashoda only wanted the Lord to be in that small little boy, Damodar form. That's the desire. Here, Bhishma Dev had this desire of seeing the Lord in the 400 form. Though the 200 form is the most desirable form, for us to really relate ourselves with the Lord, 200 form is the best form. But Bhishma Dev, he's a great Mahajana, and he was a great devotee. So he desired to see the 400 form, and that is the reason that the Lord showed, or Lord was present there in His 400 form in front of Bhishma Dev. Yes, Prabhu.
Many times, we see devotees leaving the body. So is it that if he leaves a particular, good day like Ekadashi, then only we can consider it. Or sometimes devotee, it may not be happening that the astrological things not be favorable. But because he is a devotee, because he has surrendered to the Lord, he may have gone. Means the planets will arrange themselves so that the person can leave the body, or is it not necessarily required?
It is not necessary that one should leave in the auspicious time. Again, here also, if you see Bhishma Dev, it is said that, you know, anytime Bhishma Dev would have left, because he was a devotee of the Lord, he would have gone back and gone back to Godhead. But it said, you know, the sun was moving towards the northern hemisphere. But coming exactly to what question you asked was, it is not necessary that devotees have to really plan as to this is the time that somebody has to leave the body, then it is auspicious. the most auspicious thing that can happen when the devotees are leaving their body or a devotee is leaving his or her body is the chanting of the holy name surrounded by devotees and looking at the deity form if possible. That's the most auspicious thing. There's nothing more auspicious than the chanting of the holy name of the Lord when somebody is living or hearing about the pastimes of the Lord and surrounded by devotees. So I remember this very nice happening which happened some time back. His Holiness Kunad Rahim Maharaj left his body in Sridhar Vrindavan. And just before his leaving the body, I don't know if you've seen these videos, he was ecstatically leading the kirtan. And for your information, Maharaj was suffering from cancer and it was in the fourth stage. Maharaj was in Bangalore for some time, so we had some kind of interaction with him. And I knew the kind of pain that Maharaj was going through. But when he left his body, I saw the video 2-3 days before when he was leaving the body and the day he left his body. So pain was there, but Maharaj was very, very ecstatic, very blissful. So the blissfulness came because devotees were around. There were devotees who were always around with Maharaj, chanting the holy name of the Lord and associating with Maharaj. It's the other way around. Yeah, Maharaj said, I am associating, but then devotees were associating with Maharaj at that final time as well. So it is important when the devotee leaves the body, in all probabilities, if things really are good, that devotees are surrounded, chanting, and the holy name is heard. Nevertheless, added to it is the bonus if a devotee leaves. If you see a devotee leaving his body on an auspicious day.
Many times we see devotees leaving Ekadashi, so it is very auspicious.
Yeah, so that's an added bonus. But the basic requirement is if the devotees can leave the body in association of devotees and while the holy name is sung or chanted, that's the best thing to happen. I hope that answers your question. Radhati Prabhu, some comments, some criticism?
Thank you for the new information of 89.9. I am just happy to hear that. And also, the new information of Vishwamitrana's age of 170 years, and the of 36 years after another is sometimes not to our devotee service, but the ordinary person wants to think himself more intelligent when he gets more data. So, these things help. We are mercy.
Krishna. Mercy of the Guru Parampara which is giving us down all this information. I am just speaking whatever I could hear and whatever I could read. Beds of arrows, yeah, bed of arrows, yeah. This I confirmed it because I had the same doubt yesterday when I was hearing. Yeah. We all have that idea it was 125, but then it was 89. And why it is confirmed it also, because the pastime was given here saying that Gandhari curses that in 36 years. So 36 years, 89 plus 36 is 125, that is the time that Krishna actually departs to his eternal abode. 125. So he was 89 is what is confirmed. And this is also confirmed by Vanashri Prabhupada's disciple. The data, 88, 89, 90, 91. No, there is no reference as such. This is one of the lectures. He has not mentioned from where he's got this reference. But because to confirm that he was 89, he said 89 plus 36 is 125. So that is the whole logical conclusion to it, but then I'm sure we could go back and I would also do a little more research for my own benefit. Yes. Maybe we could look at that and then reconfirm it. Thank you very much. Kantrashma Bhavatam Ki, Shutra Upad Ki, Matai Gaur Premanande.